Shiva Paramahansa Parivraja Vacharya Shreya Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Shri Hariras Thakur Ki Jai ISKCON BV Founder Acharya Hizimgare Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govdam Ki Jai Vrindam Dam Ki Jai Mayampu Dam Ki Jai Gangamai Munamai Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Hari Nam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All Gaurisam Rivotis All Gaurisam Rivotis All Gaurisam Rivotis All Gauris All Gauris Shishi Guru and Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 6, and Text 51 through 65. So we're going to cover a lot today. All right. Tesham sa chatura shisham Upahuya Mahamatim Akaikam Sangitam Brahman Eka Ikshmami Dado Vibhu Tasham Sa Chatura Shisham Upahuya Mahamatim Ekaikam Samhitam Brahman Ekaikshmai Dado Vibhu Tasam Sa Chatura Shishyam Upahuya Mahamati Ekaikam Samhitam Brahman Eka Ikshmai Dado Vibhu
Tasam
Sa Chatura Shishyam
Upahuya Mahamati Thank you. ekaikam samhitam brahman ekaikasmai dadau vibhu
Translation. The most powerful and intelligent Vyasadeva called four of his disciples, O Brahmana, and entrusted to each of them one of those four Samhitas. So the following verses, 52 through 65, we will just read English since time limitations. 52 to 53. Srila Vyasadeva taught the first Samhita, the Rig Veda, to Pila, and gave this collection the name Bhavricha. To the sage Vaishampayana, he spoke the collection of Yajur mantras named Nigada. He taught the same Veda, Samaveda mantras designated as the Chandoga Samhita to Jaimini, and he spoke the Atharva Veda to his dear disciple Sumantu. 54 through 56. After dividing his Samhita into two parts, the wise Pila spoke it to Indra Pramiti and Bhaskala. Bhaskala further divided his collection into four parts, O Bhargava, and instructed them to his disciples Bodhya, Janavalakya, Parashara, and Agnimitra. Indra Pramiti, the self-controlled sage, taught his Samhita to the learned mystic Mandukaya, whose disciple Devamritra later passed down the divisions of the Rig Veda to Saubari and others. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Mandukaya was the son of Indra Pramiti, from whom he received Vedic knowledge. 57. The son of Mandukaya, named Shakalya, divided his own collection into five, entrusting one subdivision each to Vatsya, Mudgala, Shalya, Gokalya, and Shishira. 58. The sage Jatukarnaya was also a disciple of Shakalya, and after dividing the Samhita he received from Shakalya into three parts, he added a fourth section, a Vedic glossary. He taught one of these parts to each of four disciples, Balaka, the second Pila, Jabala, and Viraja. 59. Bhaskali assembled the Valakilya Samhita, a collection from all the branches of the Rig Veda. This collection was received by Valyani, Bhaja, and Kashara. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Valyani, Bhaja, and Kashara belong to the Daitya community. 60. Thus, these various samhitas of the Rig Veda were maintained through the cyclic succession by these saintly brahmanas. Simply by hearing of this distribution of the Vedic hymns, one will be freed from all sins. 61. The disciples of Vaishampayana became authorities in the Atharva Veda. They were known as the Charakas because they executed strict vows to free their guru from his sin of killing a Brahmana. 62. Once Janavalakya, one of the disciples of Vaishampayana, said, O Master, how much benefit will be derived from the feeble endeavors of these weak disciples of yours? I will personally perform some outstanding penance. 63. Addressed thus, the spiritual master, Vaishampayana, became angry and said, Go away from here, enough of you. O disciple who insults Brahmanas, furthermore, you must immediately give back everything I have taught you.
Purport.
Sri Vaishampayana was angry because one of his disciples, Janavalakya, was insulting the other disciples, who were, after all, qualified brahmanas. Just as a father is disturbed when one son mistreats the father's other children, the spiritual master is very displeased if proud disciple insults or mistreats the guru's other disciples. And 64 through 65. Janavalkya, the son of Devarata, then vomited the mantras of the Yajurveda and went away from there. The assembled disciples, looking greedily upon these Yajur hymns, assumed the form of partridges and picked them all up. These divisions of Yajurveda therefore became known as the most beautiful Taittiriya Samhita, the hymns collected by partridges. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, it is improper for a brahmana to collect what has been vomited, and so the powerful brahmana disciples of Vaishampayana assumed the form of titiras, partridges, and collected the valuable mantras. Tesham sa chatura shishyan upahuya mahamati ekaikam samhitam brahman ekaiksmai dado vibhum. The most powerful and intelligent Vyasadeva called four of his disciples or brahmana and entrusted to each of them one of these four samhitas. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpataru Vyasha Kripasi Nvayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we are continuing today a narration by Sutta Goswami, in which he basically describes how the Veda, which originally was one Veda, was divided into four. And initially we read that he basically invited four of his confidential disciples and entrusted to them each particular branch of the Veda. Now the question may arise, why did Srila Vyasadeva had to do that? And we find the answer actually a very nice description in the first canto of Bhagavatam, where there is a beautiful description. Once upon a time, Srila Vyasadeva was meditating and observing how the time is deteriorating the conditions of the living entities, out of his compassion, he basically decided to do something for the benefit of all humanity. And Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport to text 24 in the fourth chapter of the first canto, how in the previous ages, the predominant mood of nature was sattva-gun. So as we see initially in the Satya-yuga, everybody is in the mood of goodness. But as the time is progressing, the qualities of people are deteriorating. And the duration of life, the memory, everything is becoming shorter and shorter. And as we can see in Kali-yuga, our lives are very short, our memory is very, very weak, so we cannot really do what people in previous ages were doing. So, it says, thus the great sage Vyasadeva, who is very kind to the ignorant masses, edited the Vedas so they may be assimilated by less intellectual men. which is myself. So, therefore, by the mercy of the Guru Parampara, we have Vedic scriptures presented in a way that we can all actually benefit. Now, as we were reading further, one particular verse was kind of really standing out. And that was when... one of the disciples of Vaishampayana, he acted in a very proud way. And basically what he was saying, Gurudev, all these other disciples of yours, they're useless. I'm going to go do something great. I'm going to perform such great austerities for your benefit. And, you know, one can initially think like, you know, what's bad about that? You know, he's willing to do something great for his spiritual master. But his spiritual master was very upset. And why? Because he was very disrespectful of his god brothers. And I thought that is very, very applicable to all of us, since we live in a very large society where we have senior devotees, we have young devotees, we have even younger devotees. So there are several generations. And therefore, it is really crucial that we have that culture of respect, which is so much essential. And as we know, in proper Varnashrama system, Brahmanas, they represent the head of society. In the proper civilized society, basically, the body will function if, you know, if one finger is missing or one leg. But if the head is not present, which is actually Brahmanas, then all society is messed up. Basically, it's misguided. Therefore, Krishna, he particularly likes and gives his affection to the Brahmanas. And he does not tolerate any insult to the Brahmanas. Once upon a time, as we know, there is a wonderful example which illustrates the point. Once upon a time, young boys of the Yadu dynasty, Pradyumna, Samba, Charu, they were young boys, just like some of you, maybe 10 years around that age. So they decided to go for a picnic in a forest. Do any of you like to go for a picnic? Who likes picnic? Raise your hand. Just see, like, girls, they know how to have fun. So young boys, young girls, they enjoy going for a picnic. So these young boys of the Yadu dynasty, they decided to go and play in a forest. And after a while, they became thirsty. As they were looking for the water, they came to the well. They were hoping to find some water to satisfy their thirst. But to their surprise, when they looked inside, they saw huge lizard. Not just like, you know, one of these tiny ones that we see in Lajua. This one was big, big lizard. So they immediately realized this poor creature cannot come out on its own effort. It's basically captured inside the well. And they wanted to help. They had immediately feeling of compassion. So they tried to lift the lizard out, but no matter how they tried, they couldn't do it. So they decided to go and inform Lord Krishna. And they told him what happened. And the Lord immediately came to help to rescue the lizard. And he described Krishna very easily, actually, with his left hand. He extended his left hand and, you know, without much effort, lifted the lizard out. As soon as he touched the lizard, he transformed. And a beautiful, beautiful personality came. And they were all, you know, surprised. You know, nobody was expecting that to happen. So, in that moment, Lord Krishna, he addressed that wonderful being and he said, "Who are you? How did you come into this condition? Please tell us. Tell us your identity." And as we know, Krishna knows everything. But still, he inquired from this particular personality. And why? Because he wanted to teach the world. He wanted to actually let, as we will find soon, King Nriga tell his own story. Because it has a very, very special potency when we hear, you know, people's personal experiences. It carries very, very powerful message. So basically, that wonderful personality said, "My dear Lord, you know everything, but still on your command I will speak. You know everything because your vision is not... it's not affected by the time. Therefore, you perceive and you witness the minds of all living beings. But, you know, even though you know everything, because you requested me, I will speak with your permission." So then that personality said, "My dear Lord, you may have heard of me. I'm King Nriga, son of Ikshvaku. You may have heard of me whenever the names of very charitable men were spoken, you may have heard my name as well." So, and then he went on to describe what happened to him. He said, "I was giving in charity so many cows to the brahmanas, to very qualified brahmanas who were very learned, very austere, very pure in their behavior. So many cows, as many cows as the particles of the sand on the earth, or as many cows as there is stars in the heavens, or as many cows as there are drops of water in the rain shower." Can you imagine how many cows is that? That is a lot of cows. So he was so charitable. Somehow, at one point, he gave, and all these cows, they were not just ordinary cows. They were beautifully decorated. They were giving, like, you know, abundance of milk. Very, very special cows. They were decorated with gold and silver jewels. Beautiful cows. So one time, one of the cows that he gave to one brahmana somehow ended up returning back to the king's, place where the other cows were. And he was not aware of that. You know, how could he? I mean, after all, giving thousands and millions of cows, you know, it would be really hard to notice one cow coming back. But still, that brahmana that cow was given to him, he was aware. So he came back and he said, "Oh king, I'm missing the cow. You gave me cow, but it's gone." And the king was surprised and he said, "Where is it?" "Well, it is there." And he pointed to the other herd of cows, which king actually ended up giving to another brahmana already. So the same cow ended up being given in charity twice to two different brahmanas. So there was a big conflict. So the king said, "Oh, don't worry. I will give each of you 10,000 new cows. Don't worry about that one." But this brahmana said, no. "I want that cow." Whew, tough situation. So the king was thinking, "Oh my God, what shall I do?" So he tried to please brahmana by offering all kinds of gifts. But brahmana was persistent. He really wanted that particular cow, and he couldn't really take it back because he already given it to the other brahmana. So what to do? The brahmana, you know, being very disturbed and dissatisfied by the king, he left the place. And then the king tried to pacify the second brahmana, but he couldn't. This one, you know, he was saying, "Okay, you know, I'll give you 10,000 cows. Please give me that one so I can please the other Brahmana and, you know, make a peace. But this Brahmana said, why should I do that? You know, you only gave me the cow. You know, what kind of charity is that? Now you want it back? So both Brahmanas left, and the king was, you know, left alone. So after many years, the king ended up going to Yamaraj. And guess what Yamaraj said? Gopal, you know? Yeah, but before that, he asked King something. He said, my dear King, I can see no limit to your pious activities. You perform so much charity that there is no end to your enjoyment in the heavenly planets. I see no end. However, there is one little black spot on your record. You know, at one point you displeased two brahmanas, and for that you do have to suffer. So you choose. If you want, you can enjoy first and suffer later, or you can suffer first and enjoy later. Which one would you choose? Smart. Yeah. So, you know, get it out of the way. So the king said, let me suffer the sinful reactions first, and then, you know, we'll go with the plan. So Yamaraj said, let it be. And immediately he became a lizard. But it's described that at one point in a king's life, it happened so that the devotee came by, and he also begged the charity from the king. And the king asked him, what would you like? What is your wish? And this devotee said, I wish to build a beautiful temple for the Lord and worship the Lord's deity. So the king gave him, you know, so much money to do that. And that Vaishnava, he actually blessed the king. He said, my dear king, may you have a darshan of the Supreme Lord in the future. And from that point, even the king was mainly engaged in these fruitive activities. You know, he was actually thinking, you know, someday actually I may have a darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So because of that blessing, he actually had the benefit to finally be rescued by Lord Krishna himself. Now, it's a very interesting point if we observe how the young boys, they were not able to deliver lizard on their own. So, in similar way, in our own preaching efforts, we may think, oh, you know, I have to do this, or, you know, we are not doing this, or we are not doing enough. But actually, in this example, we can see the best thing is to bring the living entity into Krishna's presence, somehow make that connection. And how we do that? We do that by bringing people in association with Srila Prabhupada and his books, through his books. We get people closer to the Lord by giving them holy name, by giving them prasadam. So in such way, we are actually helping the living entities. But we cannot directly really liberate anybody. Only Krishna can do that. So anyhow, the story goes on. So the king described what happened to him. And after offering all the beautiful prayers, he asked for permission to depart. And then he left King Nriga. He left to the heavenly planets. And after that, Lord Krishna, he instructed the young boys, and which are instructions for all of us. And he said, basically, he was saying, never mistreat the Brahmana. Never mistreat the Brahmana. And he said, those who do, basically, he said, I will personally punish. So therefore, you know, we can see the connection. why the spiritual master was very displeased when one disciple was very critical or was criticizing his other god brothers. And why is it so? Because there is a natural love and affection. Spiritual master, just as a father, has a love for all of his disciples. Like it said in the purport, just as a father is disturbed when one son mistreats the father's other children, the spiritual master is very displeased if a proud disciple insults all or mistreats the guru's other disciples. There is an interesting story. One time there was a father and three sons working, mixing the mortar for the building. I don't know if you ever seen that. But basically you're mixing the sand and water and cement to make the mixture, and then you can lay the bricks. Nowadays we don't see that anymore, but in India actually, I recently saw, they still, you know, you can see villagers, you know, putting one brick at a time and, you know, building the house. So basically this father was working very hard. He had three sons and they were all different age. The oldest son was, you know, like grown up, right, almost 18, and the middle one was about 14, and the young one was really, you know, young. He was about 7. So, but they were all working together. And as they were working hard, you know, mixing and, you know, pouring the cement and water, basically the father and the older two boys, they were mixing. But the young boy, he was, you know, he was little and skinny and didn't have much muscle to do heavy labor. So he was just standing by with the bucket of water. And whenever they would tell him, pour water, you know, he would sip a little bit. So as they were doing so, one of the friends from the village came by walking down the street. In those days, people were actually, you know, walking, not just driving like nowadays. And they were talking to each other. There was exchange. You know, the friends would say, hey, how are you doing? You know, nowadays it's very impersonal. We don't even see each other, and, you know, other than Facebook. So basically that friend, he stopped by for a, you know, nice warm exchange with the father. And he said, no wonder you're building this beautiful house. You have great help. And the father, you know, said, Yeah, I do. And then the friend said, which one of the boys is the best? And the father looked, you know, it's it's a challenging question. And the boys were also looking, you know, what would the father say? You know, am I the best? And the youngest one, he was thinking, you know, of course I'm the useless one. You know, I'm just standing with a bucket of water. Why my brothers are laboring hard? You know, no wonder father will say, you know, my two older ones are doing so much. He was thinking like that. But nevertheless, the father kind of stopped in a moment and thought for a second. And then he did something very interesting. He kind of lifted his fingers in his hands, which were all bruised from the hard labor. They were all bruises and, like, you know, like, really, like, you can see by the hands how hard the man is working. And he pointed to his friend and he said, look, 10 fingers. Whichever I cut, it hurts. And the friend looked and he realized, yes, you're right. All of them are best. Because just like a finger, you know, you can't say, oh, this one is not much use, I can get rid of him. No, we need all of them. So the friend realized the father is very intelligent. And the boys, they also realized, you know, father has a wisdom. And as the friend departed, the father actually went on to explain. Mixing is very important, you know. Putting the rock and cement and, you know, mixing. And he said, if you don't mix right, the mortar will not really, you know, be properly balanced and it's not going to hold the brick, and you know, that's very risky. But then he said, but equally important is the water. He said, without the water, it will dry up on the hot day. The sun will dry up the mortar, and then everything will collapse. So he said, equally important is the job that this one is doing. And then, you know, the youngest one was relieved. So he realized, basically, you know, he was doing important job according to his age and according to his strength. The father gave him very important duty. So anyhow, this story I'm mentioning for the reason that just as a father has an equal love for each of his children, similarly, spiritual master has love for all of his disciples. And therefore, it's very displeasing if, you know, if we criticize each other and fault find. As the Krishna says in Gita, one of the qualities of the divine nature Krishna is describing the divine and demoniac nature in the chapter 16. And then he's saying, basically, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility. And then he says, aversion to fault finding. Aversion to fault finding. Very important. So we should cultivate these qualities ourselves. And basically, we should carefully study Srila Prabhupada's books, practice what we study, and then share it with others. And this way we can try to please our spiritual masters as well. Thank you so much. I will stop here. If anybody would like to comment, any reflections, critics, questions, please do so. I know our boys have to leave. I wish you all a wonderful summer, since I won't see you anymore. Yes. Very good question. I was wondering myself, you know, why were Brahmanas really insisting like on that particular cause? You know, because by nature we know Brahmanas are very, very renounced. So you would think it would be very easy for them to say, oh, no problem, you know, one cow more or less is no big deal. The only thing that I could think of that in this particular situation, they were inspired by the super soul to act in a particular way for the sake of pastime and thus giving opportunity for the Lord to teach all of us. Other than that, I really don't know. Maybe somebody would like to comment. Yes, Dharmaraj Prabhu.
Because sages do it all the time. They get angry at the first people, and it seems like they're supposed to be
on a higher level.
Yeah, higher.
I was thinking that it also points out the very huge difference between Varnashram culture and devotional service. When one becomes a devotee, he transcends these platforms of the Varnashram and the four social orders of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So we can see in many, many examples, as you pointing out, where they have acted in anger and in many cases, as Maramati's class some time ago talks about, you know, these insults and overreactions and all of those kind of things, that it doesn't befit us in Kali Yuga. You know, for devotees, we are trained to act on a transcendental platform. And like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says, that only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends of Hari Bhajan. So that, you know, that respect, that consideration, that Bhagavad Gita describes all it, you know, the qualities of a devotee, the qualities of a Brahman, of tolerance, and, you know, those kind of qualities that what apparently we don't see in these examples that you're talking about. So our training today seems to have a lot more advantage than what they were exposed to in those days.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Trivikram Prabhu.
So Yajnavalka, he was an extraordinary devotee, but his act was very despicable in the sense of demoting all his god brothers. But with the punishment, I mean, it seems like he got off lightly. I mean, he was not really punished enough for what he did. You know, you like to comment on that?
It's described basically that he had to return all the mantras that his spiritual master gave him. But then it's also described later on, he was worshipping Suryadev to obtain particular mantras as well. So, Madam Mohan Prabhu? No? Oh, okay.
In case you want to adjust the volume on it.
One thing that crossed my mind is because his spiritual master was displeased, he had to give back the knowledge he received. So similarly, in situations where we make offenses, basically we can see how the any little advancement gets covered, any little understanding that one may have made in spiritual progress, the offenses basically diminish. So that is the lesson I'm trying to learn from this particular example. Yes, Prabhu.
It kind of seems that it happens automatically now, that if you make offenses to devotees, your knowledge disappears. So it's a different way that it happened back then, but it seems like the principle is still valid.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, the way, like, this disciple, he, you know, it's described he actually vomited the mantras. You know, it's a little bit inconceivable to us how he did it. But the principle, like you said, is the same. The knowledge gets lost in due to the effect of offense. Yes, Mother Sukhira.
Seems like there's recently someone was really pushing the idea of a Vedic culture and following all the rules and regulations. It seems like the danger, like Prabhupada, he was promoting Krishna culture, Krishna consciousness. So we see the difference, like with the brahmanas, when Krishna Balaram came, they asked them for prasadam, and they wouldn't give it to him, although the women did give it to them. So I guess it's niyamagraha, right? When you follow rules, you follow regulations, you're supposed to give it to me without really thinking the whole thing out.
Higher purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just really appreciate the culture that Prabhupada gave us, you know, that... Just very simple, but perfect. Sometimes the rules and regulations seem to get in the way of remembering Krishna.
Yeah. The culture is very integral part. It's basically provides the structure upon which we can actually develop our bhakti. So without proper culture, it's very difficult to implement, you know, bhakti principles. But when there is support of cultural values in society, then actually we can much easier cultivate principles of bhakti. I think we will stop here. Thank you so much. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.